I'm Cyndi Lauper. My psoriasis was all over, even on my scalp, which may mean four times the risk for psoriatic arthritis. But Cosentyx works on both.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis 300 milligram dose and adults with active psoriatic arthritis 150 milligram dose. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for TB. Serious allergic reactions, severe skin reactions that look like eczema, and an increased risk of infections, some fatal, have occurred. Cosentyx may lower ability to fight infections, so tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if IBD symptoms develop or worsen. Learn more at Cosentyx.com or 1-844-COSENTYX. Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 11 of the Crick Picks podcast, in which I, Behram Kazi, you can find at Def Mango on Twitter, Estelle Vasudevan, who you can find at Estelle_Vasude, the number one on Twitter, and Jared Kimber, who you can find literally everywhere at @JaredKimber. We basically take a random cricket category in this podcast and we pick our top five for that category, which today is fielders. And this is going to be really exciting because we've seen some outstanding fielders in our sport over the course of however many years. And as always, it's going to be a snake-style draft. So first pick goes sixth and seventh next. 1, 2, 3, 3, 2, 1. And today it's going to be Jared who will go first. So I think he's quite excited for this. Also, there's just one painstakingly obvious pick over here, which I think he's going to go for.
Faf du Plessis.
Oh, really?
I think Faf du Plessis is, all things considered, probably the best fielder of all time because he had the, I think Crickfiz had him, or Hawk, yeah, Crickfiz had him as the best slips fielder in their database. And I think he was probably top five outfielders when he was young and fit and running around as well. So I think it's a combination for me of those two things means that it's him. I think there are slightly better outfielders that we've seen before. I think there are slightly better slip fielders. I'm not sure we've ever seen the combination of someone who's as good at both, but there is a couple of others that are not far away, but I'm going to go Faf du Plessis at number one. So you didn't think that, did you? You didn't have that on your list?
No, I actually did have him low on my list, but that is a surprise because I thought you were going to go with the conventionally obvious pick for number one, but of course you won't. Of course you'll go with Faf du Plessis. So that's interesting.
When the conventionally obvious person comes up, I've got some issues with their fielding that I don't think are talked about enough.
Okay, so it's interesting how I had him as my number one pick because now you've added all this contest. I'm not going to go with the conventionally obvious pick as my number one pick. I will go Ravi Jadeja. Because I think in contemporary cricket, he is pretty much the best fielder out there. Bullet arm, a great outfielder, and also a very, very reliable catcher. And yeah, it would have been the other guy, but I've gone for Jadeja just to make things interesting now.
Yeah, I think Jadeja's a really good fielder. I don't know how much better he is than perhaps some of the other players of the generations before. One thing I would say is he gets a lot of runouts, but remember that there are some bad left-handed fielders who get a lot of runouts as well. But he's still a brilliant fielder. I mean, there's no problem with him being on a list like this at all.
There's this one catch that he took in a test match in New Zealand a few years back in which, you know, we all talk about that Ben Stokes catch from the World Cup versus South Africa. It was that, but kind of better. Go look it up on YouTube or something. I do feel like he I personally felt that he would be a first round pick over here. So I just went for him because, yeah, screw the obvious one. All right, Estelle.
You should have. Why are you afraid of picking the obvious one? Because most people are going to like your pick if you do, right?
I'll do it. Yeah, go for it.
But my number one would be Ricky Ponting.
Okay,
that's not the one I thought it was going to be.
That's not the obvious one.
That's my next one.
Okay.
So yeah, Ricky Ponting at number one. I think he was good in the slips, good in the infield.
Yeah.
Got a lot of direct hits as well. So overall, just superb athlete and superb fielder. And
yeah, I think just on Ponting, I think if you look at how many times he hit the stumps, we'll never keep stats on this, but he would have to be up there. The only reason I didn't have him above Pfaff is I think Pfaff was a much better slip fielder out of the two of them. But Ricky Ponting was absolutely incredible because his ability to hit the stumps so often, especially in limited overs cricket, really does take him to another level. But who's your next one?
My next one is Jonty Rhodes.
All right.
he's coming at okay, number four.
I should say this, I think I mentioned it previously in one of the episodes as well. Growing up, South Africa was the team we followed at home. And Jonty Rhodes was my favorite cricketer until Adam Gilchrist came along. So he has to be in my top five. I don't know what issues Jared is going to bring up, but I think just the athleticism he had was superb. The reason why I would put him below Ponting is because Ponting, like Jack mentioned, was so superb hitting the stumps and like affecting dismissals. But otherwise, I think you can't deny he's top 15, right?
He's easily top 15. Yeah. I mean, he's the first kind of fielder of that level where you can actually see them making a difference in the field and kind of understand it. So I think he's absolutely, from that point of view, the difference between him and Ravi Jadeja and Michael Clark and Ricky Ponting has to be hitting the stumps, though. So the famous run out of him is him not throwing the ball.
Yeah.
Right. Whereas those other guys would have thrown that ball. And I think this isn't talked about enough. I don't know. There's another fielder who might come up later who I think is an A level, or an S tier level fielding athlete. But this other guy fumbles a lot. And with Jonty, I wouldn't say he fumbled a lot, but I don't think his hands were of the level of Jadeja or Ponting or Pfaff du Plessis, right? Because when I'm putting them together, it's everything. How good are you at catching everything, right? So in catching positions and in the outfield, how often do you fumble, right? Because anyone can stop the ball, but actually taking it cleanly. And then can you hit the stumps at both ends, right? Because you have to be able to hit at the easy end and the hard end, right? And I think that, to be fair to Jonty, he's above average in some of these other guys at the ground he covered and the way he fielded the ball, but he doesn't catch up to them when it comes to hitting the stumps. And that is the other more important thing. Like, we've seen some pretty slow guys at point who are really good point fielders just because every time they get the ball, they don't miss the stumps. Someone like Michael Clark, he hit the stumps a lot. Again, left-hander, so he has a slight advantage there. So I do think all that plays a part with your fielding. So I don't want to be controversial on Jonty Rhodes because I do think he changed the way we thought about fielding.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure if he was as all-round a package as some of the other guys that we've already mentioned.
Interesting. I think it's also an eras thing, right? Because fielding back in the day wasn't thought of as, the same way that it is thought of right now.
And he's part of the reason it is thought that way.
Exactly. So he definitely revolutionized it that way. And you make a very fair point of actually hitting the stumps and diving towards the stumps midair. You know, he could have a shoe on him, you know, with that little image of him going or diving towards the stumps and running in Z out. Because that is what we think of Jonty, the first image that comes to our mind when we think of his name. But I think punter definitely, I would say that he deserves to be in that first round pick as well. So I like your picks, instead. Good ones. My turn?
It's you, isn't it, mate?
Yeah. So I'm going to go with another fielder who was brilliant all round. I think he was a very good catcher and outfielder. Kept wicket on occasion. You guys have probably guessed it by now. AB de Villiers is my next pick. And he picks himself. I really don't know what to say.
I thought you were going to say TM Dilshan.
I like Dilshan. I liked him as well as a fielder.
Dilshan was a good fielder, but he's not. He's not top 15 of all time.
Yeah, no. I'm really happy that I've got him because I thought I might not have the opportunity to pick him because he was someone who literally every game he would force a dismissal one way or another. And it was just an absolute live wire in the field. And also, just to be that skilled an athlete, forget just fielding and wicket keeping. This guy could have played multiple sports, right? So I think he deserves to be there up top, and I'm going to have him as my second pick.
Yeah, I didn't know where to put him on my list, but he was very, very high. Can I tell you guys a great story about when Faf du Plessis first moves to England and he's playing club cricket? He's playing for a team, and I think they're one player short in this game. And I've forgotten the person who's written about this, but it's the guy who writes about all the minor league and league cricket stuff in England, whose name, and I've met him 100 times, and I'm just blanking on his name. But Faf says, "Oh, you know, I've got a friend who can come and play one game if you want." And the friend is AB de Villiers. So for a league cricket game, Faf du Plessis was fielding at point. And AB de Villiers is fielding at cover. It might be the greatest club cricket fielding. And you got to imagine, there's probably some like fat dude who's just like in second slip, some old guy who still plays in the first because he makes a few runs in that. So I love the idea of club cricket having two of those guys at the same time. Yeah, I think for me, Faf is weird AB is weird because of the wicket keeping. And I didn't know where to put him in the end, on the list. But again, a fantastic player. There's no problem with that one. All right.
Yeah. 2 picks in a row for you, right?
I do. I've got such a long list here. I don't even know where to go next. Okay. Let me go. I'm going to move that guy down. And I'm going to move. I am going to have Garfield Sobers at 2. Mm. So Garfield Sobers, that catch that Ben Stokes took running back with the flight the other day? There's a great one that Steve Waugh takes. Those are very rare catches, running back, 30 or 40 meters. There are stories of Sobers doing that sort of thing regularly, right? Mm. And his ability to field in every single position, he was considered an absolute great fielder in his era. And also, again, a bit like John T. Rhodes, a kind of a revolutionary fielder in that it was on the next level. There's a lot of great West Indian fielders. So it's I'm kind of picking him ahead of Clive Lloyd, who was obviously incredible in the covers, and some of the other, Constantine, even Roger Harper. Do you guys remember Roger Harper?
Mm-hmm. I do. I've seen videos.
Yeah, so Roger Harper's a little bit like Jonty before there's Jonty. Not quite the same level of Jonty, but he was absolutely incredible. So there's a few guys from the West Indies, but the stories of Sobers just kind of, and Sobers could field everywhere in every single position. And that is something that I think I value a little bit higher. If you can, field absolutely everywhere, that means you're not just a specialist great fielder. So I've got Sobers. And then I'm going to go Colin Bland. Do either of you even know who Colin Bland is?
Nope, not me.
Colin Bland was Jonty 40 years before Jonty.
Mentioned Colin Bland to me, actually. We've covered him in some podcast.
The reason he's not more famous is because I think he comes into the whole apartheid era. So he plays a little bit for South Africa. And then the peak of his career is not around.
Because he lacked flavor.
People used to turn up to the ground to watch him do his fielding practice. Right. Like, I can't think of anyone in modern cricket where that is the case, where people turn up, to have a look at him. I think he was very much a combination of maybe Ricky Ponting and Jonty Rhodes, that incredible athleticism, getting to every single ball, but also... if you listen to the old heads, they say he never missed the stumps, right, when he threw. So I think he was a next level. And, there's a couple of other, there's obviously Joe Solomon, the guy who does the run out in the tie test from square leg. There's a few guys who are famous for their fielding in that kind of period. But Colin Bland is like a level above everyone else. So I'm going to go with him just because I think if you were If you go back in the history of cricket, there really aren't that many guys who are famous for their fielding. Hmm. And Sobers was famous for being great at all three things, but not specifically for his fielding. Whereas Colin Bland, I think he averages like 50 in test or first class cricket. Like, he's a proper player, and yet his batting is almost not mentioned. Hmm. In fact, here we go. The first line, so he averaged 49 in Test cricket in 21 matches. The first line of his Crick Info profile is he would go down to cricket as one of the great cover fielders. I think that sort of tells you who Colin Bland was. So it's a bit of a rogue pick, but I think for those who have covered the history of game, I think he certainly has to be head and shoulders above the players that he played with of that era.
Well, trust Jared to go for some vintage picks right over there. We've seen it always. Every episode. And always. I expected it. I almost expected it that this is going to happen. I'm going to go for a more straightforward... Well, actually, this might not be very straightforward because this is young Behram being mesmerized by a certain fielder. And while I think he should be highly rated, maybe you guys don't think of him as one of the best fielders of all time. But I do. Paul Collingwood. Because I think he was an immense catcher. I've seen him take some absolute blinders, right? At point, there was, I think he dismissed Matty Hayden, maybe in 2005. Yeah. Or maybe it was Watto.
I can't remember who it was, but yeah.
Yeah. There is that one catch. You guys need to go YouTube that catch. And also just as an outfielder as well, I thought he was very quick on his feet. And Collingwood was, you know, a utility cricketer who later became a better batter, was a great dead batter as well. Quite handy with the ball, but I think his fielding was his best asset out of all three of those, elements of the game. So yeah, I mean, I was a big Paul Collingwood fielding fan as a kid. I would just tune in just to watch him field it pretty at times. So happy that he's made the list.
I used to get so mad when people used to compare him to Jonty Rhodes because obviously I love Jonty Rhodes, and I used to think, no, he's not good. He's not as good. But yeah, he took some crazy catches during that period, right?
If you need a VPN, go Nord. Use nordvpn.com/Kimber to get a 2-year contract with a discount, plus 4 extra months, plus gifts in some markets. It's completely risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. The link is in the show notes. Protect your computer like a blocker protects the stumps with NordVPN today.
Hi, I'm Cyndi Lauper. My scalp was covered with psoriasis. Felt like I was trapped between a rock and a hard place. Then I started Cosentyx.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis 300 milligram dose. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for TB. Serious allergic reactions, severe skin reactions that look like eczema, and an increased risk of infections, some fatal, have occurred. Cosentyx may lower ability to fight infections, so tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if IBD symptoms develop or worsen. Learn more at Cosentyx.com or 1-844-COSENTYX.
Cosentyx works for me.
Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Yeah, I think he's probably a better catcher than some of those other guys. I think he wasn't a better athlete than some of them, but I think he was a better catcher on the move than some of those other guys.
Yeah, I'm just happy you guys feel the same way because I initially thought that this would be an obvious pick, and I was like, hey, wait a second, maybe this is just a me thing, but it's not.
It's a weird one. I think when he first came through, my theory was that everyone thought he was in the same as Dilshan. They thought that Dilshan and Collingwood were good fielders, basically because those teams had never had good fielders before. and so there's an element. I always thought there was an element of that in his fielding. But to be fair, I think he was just an incredible fielder for a long time. Probably, as I said, I think he had some slight fielding skills that maybe some of the others at that level didn't have. Incredible athlete, really.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Estelle, double pick for you.
Okay, so I'm going with Kieran Pollard as my number three pick. I think he's one guy who, I don't know, he's probably dropped a couple of catches, but it's very, very rare, right? Because he's got such big hands and he's so athletic
despite being so big.
Yeah, yeah. And some of those boundary catches that he's taken just makes it look simple. So all-round great athlete, can field. His ground fielding is good. He's good close in as well. I mean, haven't we seen him under the helmet as well, fielding close in? So, you know, he's got that all-round thing going. I think this topic is very interesting because there are a lot of fielders who are specialized in certain things, right? Like you'd probably pick like a Mark Waugh, Mahela Jayawardhan in the slips, you know, but all-round, someone like Pollard, I think it's difficult to leave out of a list like this.
Yeah, I mean, he would be arguably one of the greatest fielders on the boundary ever, right?
Yeah.
And so he is maybe more of a specialist. Do you know what? I reckon there's an IPL game where he drops two catches in a row at one stage early in his career. And I'm not sure I've seen him drop two catches in a season all that often since then. I think he's phenomenal. Because he's kind of more one-dimensional as a fielder, I wasn't sure where to have it, but honestly, the more I thought about it, if he didn't play modern cricket and he played more one-day cricket, he probably would have been a great point and cover fielder as well. But he hasn't been there as much, and also because he's so good on the boundary that you don't put him there. But I think he's an absolutely brilliant fielder, and as I said, he was definitely on my list.
Yeah, he was on mine as well. And I would say, I'd go out on a limb and say he's the best boundary rider of all time. You know the parry catch in which you send it back in once you cross the boundary and then catch it again? I think he epitomizes that. That's Kieran Pollard for you. Mm. And just those hands, I've seen those hands in person. They are huge.
I've touched them.
Okay. Well, you've gone one better than me.
Hopefully Polly doesn't watch this. He'd be like, Jared, don't say things like that.
Definitely, I think, deserves to be on the list. But I do agree with the one-dimensional bit, though. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't think that's necessarily a slight on him. It's just that, you know, if you look at Faf and Sobers and Ponting, they are very, and even Collingwood a little bit, but those guys are very, very versatile where there's not a position, and there's another fielder who might come up later where you're just like, you could kind of field these guys anywhere and they are either well above average or great in every position. Mm. And I think Pollard probably would be a great second slip fielder. If he played more first class cricket and spent more time in the slips, just because of the way he moves and his hands, and his height, it's a big edge to get past the man, right? So I think he would be, but we haven't seen that enough. So we're factoring in the other stuff. But yeah, if you're talking about all time specialists as a boundary rider, I don't think there are many better than we've seen than him.
Mm-hmm. I'd agree. All right, who's your second pick? Or last?
My
pick,
second.
Is it?
Fourth, no?
It might be.
I don't know. Last?
Is it
no, fourth? No, no. She's got two picks. Yeah, one more here. Yeah.
Oh, okay. You went
okay,
first. Right.
I hope this is the guy who Jared was talking about, Andrew Simons.
Yeah, I had him.
The athleticism was incredible from him. And he was another guy who hit the stumps quite a bit, didn't he? He was so quick to the ball. Deceptively quick, because I think a lot of players during that era saw him in the infield, and at least early in his career, and weren't expecting him to move as fast as he did. And he was incredibly quick, I think, infield, outfield, catching direct hits, had a superb arm as well. So yeah, actually, I don't know if I should put him above Pollard because he was so good.
Yeah, he has to be on this list. He's a fascinating fielder because if you look at Pollard, him and Pollard are just massive. Like they're just really big men and yet they move very quickly. But I think that was actually part of their deceptive nature of like, you kind of expect a player like Paul Collingwood or Ravi Jadeja to be quick, right? Whereas these other guys, they were quick, but they were more quick because their steps were massive. I don't know if you guys have ever seen, I think cricket.com.au might have put it up, but there's this great stuff of Simons talking about how he thought about fielding. And I think if you look at this list, like Colin Bland, Jonty Rhodes, probably Kieran Pollard as well, and Andrew Simons, I think these are guys who thought about fielding very differently to other people in their era. And because of that, they were involved in it. And, so I think there's a big part of that. And Simons thought of him, Simons and Jonty Rhodes definitely were players who thought about fielding as important as they did batting and bowling. And Colin Bland certainly on that list as well. But not all the fielders on this list are. Some of them are just really, really good at fielding and it came naturally to them because of the way that they went. So I think Simons is important in that he probably took what Jonty Rhodes did and is a different kind of athlete, but still an absolutely brilliant athlete. Probably one of the better arms in cricket, I would have thought as well. And if Kieran Pollard isn't the best boundary rider, the early best boundary rider is probably Simons, right? So, yeah. Absolutely brilliant fielder. I wasn't sure where I was going to fit him in, but I'm sort of glad that you've got him in already.
He was by my next pick, so you've taken that one from me. And it's just because of that fact that he was just such an all-round menace in the field. There's no one aspect of his fielding that you say is better than the other one, because if you have Andrew Simons in the field in any sort of position, you're probably feeling really good. Right, and there are.
I would also took. Yeah. I would say might be one of the best fielders off his own bowling we've ever seen.
Him and
Chris Shorten slightly different because he's a medium pacer, a fast bowler. But Chris Shorten and Andrew Simons just for like fielding off their own bowling, that's another level, and that's a whole different kind of fielding than normal fielding, right?
Yeah, and I mean, he definitely deserves to be on this list. Maybe even higher, I thought of going with Simons before Paul Collingwood. Maybe I should have, and PC was still available right now. But I'm going to go with a bit of a rogue pick for my next one. He is, though, similar to Simons in one way that a big unit and very versatile in terms of the positions that he can field in. I'm going with Ben Stokes. Because okay. I think Stokesy, I've seen him take some splendid catches in the slips and gully as well, one-handed screamers. And then we all remember that catch in the inaugural game of the 2019 World Cup where Nasser Hussain said that you cannot do that or something like along those lines. It was an amazing one-handed take running back. And Stokes is also someone who hits the stumps fairly frequently, I feel. And he just got like a very crucial run out in the Hyderabad test. So I think he's just very alert. He's big. He can hold on to some ridiculous catches. And he's got a bullet arm. So even though when we're discussing like the best fielders of all time, you might not think of him, from the get-go. But I think as a package overall, as a fielder, he deserves to be there.
Yeah, I don't have any problem with him being on this list at all. I think one thing I would say is as a slip fielder, I do think he clangs a little bit more than I would like. But there's two factors to that. I think he gets to a lot of slips catches that other people wouldn't get to. And so it's hard to kind of work out where you fit him in when it comes to that. If the majority of the fielders, I think all the fielders we have here are great athletes, and he certainly fits in that athletic side of things, right? Like he's definitely on that level. And he gets to balls, that other fielders won't, whether it be stopping or anything else. I didn't know where to put, did you have him on your long list, Estelle?
Nope.
Yeah, I saw him. I did some Googling of best fielding lists, and there's a lot of Suresh Raina on this list, by the way. don't know what's going on there. But he was on a lot of people's lists, him and Brendan McCullum. So I kind of think him and Brendan McCullum are both great athletes and they throw themselves around. Are they great fielders? I don't know. I should say they're great fielders, but I mean, are they top 15 fielders of all time? I don't know. But do they get to balls that other people don't because of their athleticism and their desire to get to balls? I think that's unquestionable. And so that is a big part of fielding, right?
Yeah, 100%. I also kind of had McCullum way down this list, but I was like, he was primarily a keeper for the vast majority of his career. So does he deserve to be on this list? That's where I was like kind of iffy. But I think McCullum was a terrific athlete. Definitely better than Raina.
Yes. So I think that's a fair one. All right, so I've got to go back to back here.
Yeah.
So the question is, do I take Jim Folt because we both know that Bayram's going to take him, or do I go in a different direction? Okay, I'm going to go Mark Waugh, who I think is the worst athlete on this list, and that is in no way a slight because this is a ridiculously athletic list. But and I do think Mark Waugh is a really good athlete, and it may be a different kind of – I think a lot of these guys are kind of like fast twitch predator athletes, and I think Mark Waugh is probably more, a slow moving great athlete, like like Perlo the footballer or Joker in basketball, like those kinds of athlete where they just see things differently, so they can move. He didn't need to run as quick as everyone else because he was already there. He's that sort of person. Mark Waugh could field in every single position, and I mean that from short leg, silly point, slip, point, boundary rider. I think he could field in every single one. He had almost as good a first touch with his hands as I think I've ever seen any fielder have. He was always in the right spot. He's the guy that intercepts that ball in the 1999 World Cup final that ends up with South Africa going out. Sorry, Estelle, probably too soon for her, that one. If you look at him, so he does that in the World Cup semi-final, and in the World Cup final, he takes probably one of his greatest catches to get. Was it Inzi he got out?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it was certainly one of the better Pakistani batters. He just pouches one. His reflexes at slip. I think he's my favorite second slip fielder of all time. But I just think as I said, a lot of these guys are athletic. And I think with him, he had every single skill that a fielder needed, and he was always in the right position when he needed to be there. Some of the catches that he took at silly point, we see now fielders take catches like that. We see guys like James Taylor and Ollie Pope coming through, and there's some great old, obviously, Indian close infielders. But Waugh could do that, and he could do point, and he could do second slip, and he could do outfield. I just think it's a combination with him of all those different things. It may be the most skillful fielder in every position I think I've ever seen.
Yeah, he was on my list, but a bit lower down the pecking order. Much to your surprise, I'm not going with Jim Folt.
Whoa.
He has one more.
I've got two picks.
Oh, you have two picks. Sorry.
And now then. I've got balloons coming up on the screen.
Now you know more information. You can make
so
a
you're
more
not going Jim Folt. So maybe I have to go Jim Folt then under that one. I'm just having a look who else I have on my list. A lot of them are gone, actually. Then there's a couple of fringe West Indian current players that I love. But they might be better fielders than some of these other guys. I'm going to go Jim Folt.
Good.
I've never seen him field. And I have to be really honest here. I've seen highlights of Colin Bland. I've seen some incredible stuff that Garfield Sobers does. I've seen nothing of Jim Folt. But the stories are just next level. There's a couple of great older field. And I've already got one in Colin Bland. And Sobers is a little bit more known, at least as a great fielder of his era. And so it would be easy not to go Jim Folt. But I just don't know if you can average 15 in List A cricket unless you are probably close to the best fielder in the world for a long period of time. And there are stories of him winning games with his fielding regularly. So I am going to go Jim Folt with number 5. If no other reason, Bayram, I think you'll agree with me, if we can get Jim Folt on as many Crick Picks episodes as possible, right? Because maybe we'll do glasses one day, we can get him back in. Maybe we could do worst professional batting records and we can get Jim Folt back in. Like, I think there's a few different categories we can get him in, but what a legend. And just so you know, Estelle, there was a Jim Folt fan club that was still going like 20 years after he retired. There was still a Jim Folt fan club around, and I can't remember the exact thing, but there is a scientific term that has Jim Folt's name in it because someone was such a fan of Jim Folt that they actually put his name into science. Like, think of how, and I know some of it is the glasses and the hair. Don't get me wrong. The glasses and the hair play a part here. But he just must have been incredible as a fielder. And I've been, there's another player I was thinking of putting here, which is Hayden Walsh Jr. who I think is one of the best fielders I've ever seen and certainly should be on this list. And I used to say that Hayden Walsh Jr., if I was an IPL franchise, I would have on my squad just to bring out in field. And essentially that's what Gloucestershire did with Jim Foate for like a generation, but he was in the side. So he's in for me. And he's not a serial killer, no matter what you two said. I've heard he's a very lovely man. So I don't want any more Jim Foate disrespect here. Number five.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Yeah, funnily enough, Jim Foate, I Googled him as soon as you mentioned him in the previous episode. And I think the search page, you get the small Wikipedia description. Mm. It says that he has a cult following. So yeah, I can imagine.
I'm hoping we're continuing that cult following.
Yeah.
And also hoping that's not a Charles Manson type cult following based on the aspersions that you two put on him.
Yeah, well, we're 11 episodes in and he's featured already in two of our lists. So I'm all for doing the glasses one day. We can definitely bring him back. The only reason I wouldn't have picked him is because I've never watched him field, right? Yeah. Like, I was very, very fascinated with the Jim Foate story when we covered him on one of our footmarks. I can't remember what that exact episode was. But yeah, he was there because you cannot possibly have that long a career by playing or batting that poorly. So I'm happy that you've gone for Jim Foote. I'm happy that I forgot that it wasn't my turn, because then we would have missed him, you know? And it's good that he's made it. So I'm going to get badgered for this, because if we're doing a top 15 fielders list, no Pakistani deserves to be on it.
Oh my God. You can't put a Pakistani.
Never in 2 million years should a Pakistani be on it. But weirdly enough, I have the power.
Oh my God.
So I'm going to do you guys dirty. And yeah, I do literally feel that he is the best Pakistani fielder to have ever lived.
Wow. What an honor. Imagine that. Wow. The best Pakistani fielder.
And just because of that, I'm going to go with a completely biased pick and go for Shadab Khan. I do think he's terrific in the field. Really good point fielder. Equally good at catching the ball and stopping really quick, you know, shots. He also has a fair few direct hits that I can think of. The only other fielder from Pakistan that was coming to mind was Afridi, because I think he has some iconic catches, but he does not make this list.
I'll tell you my story about Shadab Khan. Hmm. I was writing a piece from, you know, when they won the Champions Trophy, and I wrote a big piece on Pakistan.
Yeah. Fly Pakistan, fly.
Is that what it was called?
You had that line in it.
Oh, God, I don't remember that. I was talking to George Dobell about it, and one of the things I was writing about was that it was a better fielding side than we'd ever seen before. And I said that Shadab Khan was the best fielder I'd ever seen from Pakistan. And he was about 12 at that time, right? Like, he was really, really young. And George is like, settle down. Like, Shoaib Malik's a really good fielder, and Shahid Afridi could do something. And as George said this, Shadab Khan was at backward point and launched himself to stop a ball. And George is like, it's probably a fair point. Look, he's obviously not in the top 15 fielders of all time, and this is a terrible decision. And sucking up to a Pakistani audience to get a couple of votes is not ideal. But he is a fantastic fielder. I don't want to slander him as a fielder at all, even if you have clearly made a huge error here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very honest about the fact that this is a bias pick. And a lot of people in the comments, some people get the fact that Crick Picks can be a bit biased at times.
It's supposed to be biased.
Yeah. That's kind of like by design. It's like that. And you know, it's just fun. I ruined it for the commentators one for you guys as well, right? When I picked Rambo.
Yeah.
So this is me that's doing another one of those. Yeah. There's precedence for this. I've done this before. I'm doing it again. And yeah, I mean, look, I love Shadab's both ground fielding and catching, and I think he's an overall package. In fact, at this point, you could argue that fielding is his best attribute where his career stands, right?
Probably so, is. That's very sad for him.
There's
the Jim Thorpe of Pakistan.
Anyway, Estelle, you are going to finish up now, I believe.
Yeah. Well, okay. So I have
last pick is the worst, isn't it? Like it's just so that everyone knowing at home, because you've usually got a list of like four or five people, and the person that you have generally to come in next, you now don't feel comfortable with because you're terrified that you're going to miss someone like Viv Richards, like when Estelle did. Like, you know, it really is absolutely terrible when you're the last pick in the draft.
Yeah. I mean, that was horrible. Let's not talk about it. My last pick. I'm going with... Okay, so I have a couple of options. Also, shout out to this guy, David Bourne. I think all-round great pick, but I'm going with Steve Smith. He's a really good catcher. He's quick. You know, he puts that extra pressure all the time, right, as a fielder. And I think he hardly misses anything. That I think... Sometimes some fielders are so good that, you know, I think you guys spoke about it when you all did the footmarks on Meg Glanning as well, is that sometimes they're so good that, you know, because they're consistently good, you don't really see them as exceptional. But I think that argument can be brought for Steve Smith as well. Because he's consistently good, we don't really, you know, see it as special. Mm-hmm. But I think he's generally been a really good fielder, particularly in the last 5 to 6 years. Some of the catches he's taken are pretty phenomenal.
Quite high up on my list as well. I don't know if you guys, you probably wouldn't have seen much of young Steve Smith, but young Steve Smith was essentially almost a combination of Ponting and Jonty Rhodes. I think he had a period in the middle of his career where he probably didn't care as much about fielding and it didn't come out as much, and I think he's a good slip fielder, but I don't know if he's a better slip fielder than some of the others. Certainly he's not on the Faf or Ricky Ponting or Mark Waugh sort of level of slip fielding, but yeah, if you go back, I don't know if there must be highlights online, some of the fielding stuff he did. When the first time I noticed Steve Smith was all about fielding. He just moved in an incredible pattern. And because he reads the game so well, he was almost like a combination of, I suppose, maybe Mark Waugh and Ricky Ponting in that early period. Like he was just where he had to be every time. But I feel that the only reason I didn't have him, and he was high on my original list, the only reason I couldn't fit him in was I just felt that he didn't maybe care about fielding as much as some other people did at times.
He's dropped a lot of catches recently, right?
Yeah.
Weirdly enough. He was low on my list as well, but I think this is the second time you've mentioned early or, you know, young Steve Smith on a podcast and how good a fielder he was.
Yeah. I don't know if anyone's ever done a supercut or cricket.com have ever released it, but if you look at him playing in the Big Bash and you know, the old Ryobi Cup, right? Even to when he first starts playing for Australia, it is absolutely incredible some of the things he pulls off and how quick he is to balls. And, you know, and just I just remember, you know, in the same way that when you saw Jonty Rhodes for the first time, you were just like, I can't believe this is happening. But Jonty Rhodes and Andrew Symonds, as we talked about before, I think they really prided themselves on their fielding. Whereas I think with Steve Smith, it was like, I've got to do this, but I really just want to be batting. Right. And I do think there's a difference. So none of us really have specialist slip fielders, have you noticed?
Yeah.
Which I mean, is really interesting.
Jayawardene, Dravid, Yunus, those guys were good in Asia. Who else am I missing in slip fielders?
Cam Green at Gully.
Of modern times at Gully. I mean, they always used to talk about Joel Garner at Gully, but I don't know if that was just because he was tall or whether he was also absolutely brilliant at Gully. So I think he's probably another one. You've got
He's been nicknamed Cameron Gully, I believe. That's how good he is over there.
I mean, that's pretty handy, isn't it? I think you've got guys like Bob Simpson. So do you know how Bob Simpson used to take slips fielding? He was slips catchers. He used to let the ball hit his chest and then pull it into his chest.
Wow.
There's also, I'm going to forget his first name. Wait, let me see if I can look it up. There was a great Indian fielder, Eknath Solkar.
I've heard the name.
Who really, if you look at his overall record, let's just have a look here. So he played 27 tests and averaged 27 with the bat. and took 18 wickets, an average of 60 with the ball, right? Mm. And they would use him because of how good he was at silly point and everything else, you know, short leg, all those sorts of positions. And he kind of revolutionized that position. The only issue I had with putting him on my list is I don't know if he was any good kind of anywhere else. Like, I don't know how brilliant he was, but he took 53 catches in 27 matches, which is, I think, I don't know if any modern cricketer has gone past that, but my memory was that Bob Simpson was the only other outfielder who was anywhere near that level of taking catches. Mark Taylor at first slip. I don't know if you two were of that era, but I always felt that Mark Taylor would never drop anything particularly at slip. We talked about Clive Lloyd before as well. And Joe Solomon is another one. There really aren't many from before World War II that get mentioned. Larry Constantine is one of the few. So Larry Constantine was a bit like Sobers in that they said he could field in every single position. And he gets mentioned. But when you go through the old reports, there isn't as much talking about fielding. Mm. So, you know, and before World War I, there weren't really specialist slips fielders in the way that we have now. Not that they weren't slips fielders, but the ball didn't carry the same way, so you didn't get as many fielding options there. But yeah, those are some of the ones. Have you guys got any more that come to your mind at all?
Yeah,
Dan McMillan was pretty good, right? At slip.
At slip, yeah, big hands.
Yeah. Mm. And also, Jesse Ryder, for however short the period was we saw him, was really fantastic at point, right? I know he was, I think, part of it is the fact that he's such a big guy. You don't expect him to be good, but he was really, really good at point for the short period he played international cricket.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
So I think, I mean, if you think of his size and the fact he was a point fielder, it sort of tells you he reminds me of that sort of Andrew Symon, actually maybe, you know, that Mark Wall kind of fielder, where he kind of knew what shot was going to be played beforehand. And so he had that kind of skills, great hands. I think he was quite a good slip fielder as well, perhaps, but wasn't in the slips as much. Stephen Fleming, is he another good slip fielder?
Yeah. Shout out to Dwayne Leverock. Of course, you're never going to make this list, but I feel like his name needs to be mentioned. I had Herschel Gibbs over here, not as a slip fielder, of course, but then he dropped one of the most important catches of all time. And I was like, maybe I shouldn't have Gibbs in this.
Do you know what? If you do this list 10 or 15 years ago, there's no way he doesn't make it. I think we have forgotten his fielding a little bit, but he wasn't quite. I would say Herschel Gibbs and Martin Guptill, who I think are both incredible fielders, they were the ones I was thinking about before when it's about the fumbling. So as athletes and getting to the ball, they were both miles ahead of anyone else, right? But I don't think if you go back, I always said with Guptill, like everyone would go on about what a great fielder he was. He got to the ball like almost no one I've ever seen, but he didn't always take it cleanly. And if you go back to the Jesse Ryder, Mark Waugh thing, is maybe they won't get to as many balls as the other guys will, but they're not going to fumble as many. And they've got those skills and they'll throw to the right end and all those sorts of things that you need. And that's really important. But yeah, I think that's, Fabian Allen. I don't know if you guys have ever seen Fabian Allen.
I've seen him. He's a really, really good fielder. Also, I believe we have mentioned, Bravo is there. The live wire, that is Temba Bavuma.
He's a good fielder. Yeah, I hadn't really thought about Temba. I mean, South Africa, the best fielding team ever, right? Like, you could you could pretty much go through, you know, from Colin Bland onwards, they've just had, you know, some of the best fielders. There's one more that I want to say, and I'm going to pronounce this incorrectly, and I apologize to probably his family. I don't think he's with us anymore. But Petero Kuba Nivanua. He's a Fijian cricketer who used to field barefoot. And he went and played, he played some first class cricket in New Zealand. And they said, and remember, outfielding was not a big thing back then. And he was known as the best outfielder in the world at that stage. And they said he was so quick that he would catch birds. I think he only caught one bird, but a bird flew past once and he grabbed it and then let it go. And he was such a good fielder that I believe one of the first, I think he might have been the first ever cricketer to be put on a stamp in the world. I could be wrong. I don't know if Bradman was slightly before him, and there was a couple of other cricketers in Asia who might have been around that same time. But I think that he was the one, if he wasn't the first, he was one of the first cricketers to ever go on a stamp. But I can promise you, he was the first cricketer to ever go on a stamp as a fielder. He has this, there's a couple of those early Fijian cricketers. It's sad that Fijian cricket hasn't really survived as well, but some of them were just absolutely incredible. But apparently him in the outfield, barefoot running around with just an incredible throwing arm, and is someone that's worth mentioning. But, you know, I think I'd gone random enough with Jim Foote. I think if I picked a Fijian cricketer, I might have been taking it too far. But it's worth mentioning, you know, that some of those older fielders were just absolutely incredible as well. And they do stand out because fielding wasn't as important back. It wasn't as trained. I mean, I don't think English fielders even trained for fielding until like after World War II, right? Like England, I don't even think, you look at some of the footage of England, old cricket, and their fielders are just like, well, it might get hit to me.
We will do a worst fielders draft one day, definitely in the works. And that's a fantastic anecdote. I don't think anyone will ever heard of anyone would have ever heard of that story before, the bird one with the Fijian cricketer.
I just apologize for his name, which I'm sure I absolutely mangled. But it's not the worst Fijian cricket name, because you know there's a name that's one of the longest names in the world is a Fijian cricketer, but we just call him IL Bula because no one wants to try and say his name. So they've got some great names over there. So it's a real shame. And just on the Fijian aspect of this, and I don't know why the Pacific Islands are so good at fielding, although we have mentioned Ross Taylor and Jesse Ryder, who both have island backgrounds as well. But Papua New Guinea, if you ever get a chance to go and watch a Papua New Guinea game, what I was saying about Colin Bland before about their fielding, have a look at Papua New Guinea in their warm-ups. It's mesmerizing watching them as a unit field. I remember they had stumps in the middle that they aim at, those floppy stumps that they use. And they ruined the fielding practice by how often they each would knock the stump out. It was absolutely pointless them doing it. They were all so accurate in the field. And if you get it, I would say that Papua New Guinea's main skill as a cricket team is fielding. They are just absolutely dynamic, to watch in the field and the way that, and they love fielding. You can tell they field as a collective, you know, in that sort of old-timey Australia, South African style of like, they're all hunting you. And it's absolutely beautiful to watch.
Yeah. I did see them during that T20 World Cup, which they were a part of not too long ago. And I remember them bringing out some good fielding performances over there. I suppose in hindsight, if I were to go about this objectively, one of Temba or Gibbs should have made it ahead of Shadab.
I mean, you said it. I'll go through the list. I think we all know that Bayram's tanked his own one here. And I thought he was going quite strong for a while. Last two picks. Anyway. I had Faf du Plessis at number one, which might be controversial, but I like it. Garfield Sobers, Colin Bland, Mark Waugh, Jim Foote. Bayram had Ravi Jadeja, A.B. de Villiers, Paul Collingwood, Ben Stokes, and Shadab Khan. And Estelle had Ricky Ponting, Jonty Rhodes, Corin Pollard, Andrew Symon, Steve Smith. I think Estelle's going to get this one. Because I've gone too random with Bland and Foote to actually win people over. I think her only weak pick is probably Steve Smith, only because I don't think everyone's going to remember how good a fielder he had been at various times in his career. But if you compare that, I'm just going to go through our list. Bayram's fifth pick is Shadab Khan, and my fifth pick is Jim Foote. We could not be more on brand as human beings in this that we have been. So there you go. Please vote for who you think is going to win, and obviously share your own lists as well. And I think Estelle might get this one.
Maybe. Let's see. I'm feeling a little confident, actually. I think my first three picks are really solid.
Your first three picks aren't good enough to overcome your
fifth
pick.
There is one Indian and one Pakistani in this entire list, and I have both of them. I have the numbers.
If any Pakistani support you for this.
Should have had Suresh Raina, huh? Maybe Google would have voted for
me. Where's Yuvraj? Where's Yuvraj?
Anyway, on that note, we'll conclude this episode of Crick Picks. If you guys enjoyed it, do hit that like button, share this with your friends, and subscribe to both this channel and Jared's other channel. We'll be back with episode 12 next week. That's all for now. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening. This podcast has an ad-free version via Patreon, where there are also many other extras as well, including a Discord channel where you can chat to me directly. There is a link to the Patreon in the show notes. We are an independent podcast, so support us any way you can. Maybe give us a review, subscribe, or share on social media. All of these things help us. And when it comes to podcasts, word of mouth is always the best way of making it grow. If we had a guest on, chances are their socials are in the show notes. Please support everyone who comes on this show. I am Jared Kimber, and this is my network. But we also have hosts and co-hosts like Bahram Kazi and Estelle Vassadevan. This network is overseen by Nick McCorriston, and each episode is produced by Ishit Kaburka at Sound Potion Studio. Mukunda Bandredi, or Muku as most people will know, is the head of our YouTube channels, and he also helps out with so many other things like the podcast recording. And there's so many other people we could thank here, but I just want to thank all the listeners and all the people who help behind the scenes that make this podcast work. If you make a lot of content like me, you will need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up great clips from your podcast chats and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.
I'm Cyndi Lauper. My psoriasis was all over, even on my scalp, which may mean four times the risk for psoriatic arthritis. But Cosentyx works on both.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis 300 milligram dose and adults with active psoriatic arthritis 150 milligram dose. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for TB. Serious allergic reactions, severe skin reactions that look like eczema, and an increased risk of infections, some fatal, have occurred. Cosentyx may lower ability to fight infections, so tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if IBD symptoms develop or worsen. Learn more at Cosentyx.com or 1-844-COSENTYX. Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.